Well, we've come to hear Jesus teach us this morning. How privileged we are. Privileged to hear the greatest teacher that has ever lived, that ever will live. He's come down to the seashore, Sea of Galilee. There is a great multitude of people that have gathered there to hear him. I wish I could have been there. But I picture it, and the crowd, the multitude, is so great that Jesus does something that perhaps no other teacher would do. He got into a boat. He rowed out from the shore, evidently far enough out where all of the multitude that was gathered along the seashore would be able both to see and to hear these words of grace that would flow from his lips. And our Lord begins to speak. A common, everyday story. And the first attitude that we might have is, well, what's so great about this? A sower, a farmer, goes out to sow seed. But as is true concerning every one of these everyday lifelike accounts that Jesus would recite, these parables, there is always a wonderful, meaningful, practical, necessary spiritual lesson that all wise people are going to apply to their lives. Not everyone understood the meaning of the parable. Indeed, there were some, as Jesus tells his disciples in between times, that their hearts had been hardened. Their ears were dull. The disciples, as we will note, have an attitude not only of listening. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. But they also had that attitude of wanting to know. What are you talking about? What do you have in mind, Jesus, as you talk about this everyday occurrence of a farmer, a sower, going out to sow the seed? As he sows the seed, naturally, as he would probably be reaching into the bag of seed and as he would be casting it on this side and on that side, there would be some of that seed that would just fall by the wayside. On hardened ground that had never been plowed, that was not prepared to receive the precious seed. There was some stony ground there, rocks. And as the sower sowed the seed, so it was that that seed could not penetrate, at least it could not penetrate deep enough where there would be roots that would come down. As a matter of fact, when the sun would come up and when the birds of the air would come by, why, that seed would disappear. It would not endure very long. There was a third type of soil that is mentioned. There was some thorny ground. And as the seed was cast into this thorny ground, it seems that it did indeed take root, but it was never, ever able to bear any fruit at all because the thorns grew up and it just choked out that good, precious seed. Jesus tells us that there was also some good ground. And as that seed fell on this fourth type of soil, it sprung up. And oh, it brought forth a wonderful bounty. No, not all of the seed produced the same amount. Jesus says some 30, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. What does all that mean? Our Lord and Savior, of course, was not interested in farming per se. It was not a matter of Jesus trying to tell people, prepare your ground, get rid of the stones, get rid of the thorns, and all of that. It did not have to do with that. These wonderful parables, what are they doing? Well, they are placing right alongside this everyday lifelike story that, oh, we're able to visualize even now with great and wonderful spiritual application. And you know what? In one way or another, it applies to every person that is here. The disciples later come to our Lord and they inquire. They say, what's the meaning of this? And Jesus says, don't you understand? If you cannot understand this, how will you understand any parable? And so then, because they wanted to know, because they had that kind of inquiring minds wherein they were seeking to be pleasing to God, Jesus then begins his explanation. This is what he says, beginning with verse 18. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This very same record we should be aware of is also recorded by Mark in his fourth chapter of writing. It is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the eighth chapter. I encourage you, as you go home today, to read all three of those records, each one in a little different wording, provides for us that information that we need to have. Very obviously, as we should do, I think, with every parable of our Lord, we need to draw out the key features. In this case, we would say that the key features have to do with the seed, the Word of God, as we find out. But then it also has to do with the soil. And we have already learned, I believe, from our reading of these verses from 18 onward, that the soil is representative of people. Different kind of folks, just like you and me. More than that, I think we would hasten to say, it is representative of the hearts of man. Different kinds of hearers, different attitudes of heart, as this same seed, the Word of God, is sown into their hearts. Very probably, as we think about each kind of soil, as we want to do for the next few moments, you will say, I know someone like that. I know someone like that. And we may even be prone to say, you know, the majority of people are just like that. Most folks are just like that. Now, after you've done all of that, and we're going to conclude exactly in this same way. After you've thought about everybody else, think about yourself. What kind of hearer are you? What kind of heart do you have? The wayside soil. What does Jesus say about that? Well, the wayside hearer, he does not understand. He does not understand. How many people have you spoken to? They say, I don't ever bother to study the Bible anymore. I can't understand it. Really, you can just view the words of Jesus and make any kind of application at all that you want to. And folks will say, look at all of the churches. Look at all of the denomination. One takes the words of Jesus and he makes this out of it. One takes the words of Jesus on the other hand and he says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means this. And so the majority of people are just thoroughly confused. They don't understand. What happens? Well, Matthew's gospel says, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is those that were sown by the wayside. What's going to happen to folks as they hear the Word of God? Not only do they not understand it, it's obvious. I think it is obvious to every one of us who read these words, they're not going to make any efforts to understand it. Pella says, I can't understand the Bible. And you say, how often do you study it? He says, oh, I think a few years ago I picked it up and read it. Well, there would not be a school subject. There would not be a science. There would not be any manner of education at all that man would ever understand unless he makes an effort. You've got to try. You have to be like these humble disciples that come to the Lord and say, look, I didn't understand that. Help me to understand. These wayside hearers, we're so quick to blame the devil. They say, look, the devil came and he snatched away the word. How does he do that? Oh, huh. He just distracts our attention elsewhere. We say, look, can't understand this Word of God. I think I'll turn on the TV. I'll pick up this book. I will devote myself to the pamphlets that are at work and all of the procedures that I have to have to understand. I'll devote my intelligence to all of the great things that the great men of the world have studied and are able to reveal. I will be an intellect. And the greatest fools in all the world are those who neither understand the Word of God or want to understand it. What good did that seed do? You say it didn't do any good at all. It just fell on the hard ground. The birds come, they snatch it away, the devil snatches it away. That person does not spend days and nights thinking about the word of this greatest teacher that has ever lived. Well, how about this second kind of hearer? The scripture says something that is encouraging to me. In verse 20 it says, "He who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Isn't that good? I like to teach people whose faces light up whenever they hear the word of God. They say, "Isn't that wonderful?" And it is wonderful. It is indeed the most joyous thing in all the world to hear the word of God and you say, "I want to go ahead and I want to obey that." But do you know what about this stony ground hearer? He doesn't try to keep on growing. As a matter of fact, Jesus says concerning that person, he doesn't have any root in himself. Here's the seed. It falls on this heart of man. He joyfully receives it. But that's just about as far as it goes. He doesn't grow. He doesn't continue to hear the word. He says, "Why? I've already heard the word of God. I've allowed it to come into my heart. I'm saved. Why would I want to go to Bible study? Am I getting home to you? Did you come to Bible study at 9:30 this morning?" You say, "Well, I didn't need to come to Bible study. I already know more of the Bible than most of my neighbors know. Don't you know if I came to Bible study this morning, I'd have to get up an hour earlier? Sunday really is, I get up at 6 o'clock on the weekday mornings. It's pretty tough. I've got to rush off to work, and sometimes I don't even have time for breakfast, but I don't want to do that on Sunday morning. I don't need to study. I don't need to discuss God's Word. I love God's Word. I'm so joyful that I received it." What happens? Oh, verse 21, he has no root in himself. He endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The other translation just says he falls away. That's what Luke says, he falls away. There are so many reasons, so many temptations that is going to cause the children of God to fall away. But who can doubt that the case that Jesus is presenting here is exactly the way with so many that fall away. They don't have any root. When the time of testing comes, for the person who is so casual, so careless about this word that he's received in his heart, the person can't endure. They just can't make it. You know any folks like that? There's a third type. Not a very pretty picture again. The seed is sown, but in this case, the individual hears the word. It's received into their hearts. There's competition. The cares of this world. And Jesus says the deceitfulness. Have you studied that word? The deceitfulness of riches. Choke out the word, he becomes unfruitful. Luke's gospel is especially helpful at this time because Luke actually lists three types of thorns. He says the cares of this world. That's worry, isn't it? That's worry. Folks say, don't bother me, I'm too busy worrying. And the common attitude in our busy, hectic, crazy world today is everybody worries. The cares of this life, riches, and then pleasure. Those are the devil's tools. They sure are. They sure are. What do we worry about? Have you ever worried about the fact that you're not spiritual enough? Do you ever worry about not knowing enough of the Word of God? Oh, no. I worry because, well, first of all, I don't have confidence in God. But I worry about the material things of life every time. Psychiatrists and psychologists and all kinds of folks make a lot of money out of us because we worry. Some of the physicians have come to the place where they say almost every illness is caused because of mental stress, anxiety, concerns for the things of this world. What happens whenever worry comes into your heart? Well, there's no room for the Word of God. You say, I would rather worry than pray. I would rather worry than pick up my Bible at the end of the day and read the beautiful Psalms or read the reassuring words of my Savior. Riches. Riches. Why can't I be rich? Why do I always have more month than I have money? Why is it that every time income tax comes around in April, I struggle in order to pay it? Will there ever be a time in my life when I will just have as much money as I want? I don't know how many hours a day you work. Bible teaches us we're to provide for our families. If husbands, fathers, do not provide for their family, Paul says they're worse than an infidel. So yes, there is a rightful place. There is that kind of appointment God has given you. Be earnest in labor. But Jesus has already told us this morning, man shall not live by bread alone. You just can't do that. Whenever your concerns are on your bank balance, whenever your concerns is, life is all about being wealthy, that's just going to choke out the Word of God. Went to a gospel meeting this past week, and boy, that preacher was long-winded. Yeah. He just went on and on and on, and the seats got hard. But you know what? I read that the last All-Star game, what'd they go to, 15 innings? Cecil? Would you have sat through, maybe Cecil did, I don't know. Would you sit through 15 innings? Oh, we say, the bleachers are kind of hard and the sun is hot, but boy, am I having fun. The pleasures of this world. I'm too tired to go to church services, but I'm never too tired for pleasure. Why, this kind of individual could be a church member till the end of their life. Look at me. I'm not like that fellow who has no root in himself. Look, I attend every Bible study. I attend every woman's class if I am a sister. I attend every I just believe in attending them all. But you know what? I'm sure worried. And I'm still trying to get rich. And I enjoy pleasure. And that kind of Christian just doesn't produce any fruit at all. The fourth kind. He who receives seed, verse 23, on the good ground, is he who hears the word, he understands it, he indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Which do you want to be? Oh, my. Luke records something about this kind of person. Luke tells us what kind of heart that good soil represents. He says he has a noble and good heart. Isn't that what makes the difference, after all, in these four types of soil? Different kind of hearts. Different kind of attitude. All right, now quickly. What application should we make from this wonderful lesson by the greatest teacher who is sent to us from God? The Son of God, the greatest teacher that has ever lived. Well, we might first of all say the seed is very important. The seed is essential to our being able to accomplish anything. Very obviously, without the seed, there can be no fruit, can there? The Apostle Paul said on one occasion, as recorded in Romans, the first chapter, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. A lot of folks miss that point. They say, "Why, I'm looking to be saved through some miracle. I'm looking to be saved through some dream. I'm looking to be saved through prayer." The Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, the seed which is the Word of God, that's the only thing that can save you. No miracles. Doesn't matter how long you pray. The Holy Spirit will not come to you directly. You pick up your Bible. You ask yourself the question, what must I do to be saved? And then you forget every denominational teaching and everything that any preacher might have to say. And you say, I'm going to go to the master teacher. I'm going to go to this greatest teacher that has ever lived. And when he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, I'm going to act on that. Importance of the sower. Here on Wednesday night, you good brethren have been studying how to sow the seed. All Christians are to be sowers. Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And that's what we're to do. Invite them to hear, sure, but go everywhere teaching the word. There's something else that I hope all of us recognize. We've studied four different kinds of soil, haven't we? Four different kinds of hearers. Do you know what? The wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, the good ground hearer. Each individual was responsible all by themselves. They were responsible for how they heard the word and what they did about it. Oh, you say, Gene, that's not fair. Look at that wayside here. He hadn't been prepared. He didn't understand it, and the devil came. Surely that's the devil's fault. No, not really. Not really. Why was that wayside hearer not prepared? Why did he allow the devil to come in? Why didn't he do like the disciples and say to the Lord, explain this to us? Same thing is true with that stony ground hearer. He didn't have any root in himself, but he didn't bother to grow. Oh, he received the word with joy, but after that, he just said, well, you know, I've been baptized. That's the end of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to roller skate right into heaven. His fault. His fault. Oh, the same thing is true for that brother or sister that just continues in the church maybe all the years of their life from youth till their death, but they don't do anything. All they do is talk about, look what they did. Complain, but no fruit. And that brings us to what I think is probably a very important application. out of all of these different types of soil, out of all of the wide range of the hearts that inhabit this earth, did you notice there was only one kind that produced fruit? Well, you may say, that seems unfair to me too. But that's what Jesus taught. And not only that, he taught us that wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Why, 3/4 of these folks, do you know what the scripture is telling us? They were lost. They were lost. John 15 says that if we don't bear fruit, he's going to cut us off. He's going to throw us into the fire. But those folks that bring forth fruit, no, not every Christian is going to produce the same kind of fruit, and not every Christian is going to produce the same amount. That's no cause for envy. That's no cause for anxiety. But those good, noble hearts who hear the Word of God, they study it until they understand it. And you know what? They bring forth fruit. Two questions. What kind of a hearer are you? And second of all, what kind of heart do you have? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned." Would you receive the word with joy this morning? Would you not only have forgiveness of your sins, but then would you put down root and be sure that the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life do not choke out that good seed, but produce fruit to life everlasting? We encourage you as we stand and sing.